Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on KVOI for this Friday, September the, what is this, the 7th of September already? My goodness, 2012. Hope you're having a great day and looking forward to a wonderful weekend. I am Bill Buckmaster, and we thank you for choosing the Buckmaster Show. We are live here on KVOI Monday through Friday, noon to 1. KVOI is Tucson's intelligent voice, AM 1030. We are streaming our show live on my website, buckmastershow.com, and at kvoi.com. Show is also available anytime for you on several websites. My website, buckmastershow.com, tucsoncitizen.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and now there is a link to the Buckmaster Show at gvnews.com. That is the homepage for the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Our Friday Focus interview today is with Pamela Sutherland. Ms. Sutherland is the Economic Director of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Joining me to question Ms. Sutherland are Dylan Smith, editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, and Jimmy Bogle, editor of the Tucson Weekly. If you have a question or comment about downtown Tucson, now would be a great time to call us on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. Now let's welcome Pamela Sutherland. Pamela, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
Tell me a little, well, it's good to have you on the program. For those that aren't aware of what Downtown Tucson Partnership is, what is your mission?
Well, the Downtown Tucson Partnership is a public-private partnership which was formed by the City of Tucson in 1998 and essentially is a district that is our central core of downtown. We administer the Business Improvement District, which is paid for by a small tax that's levied on property owners within that district. We perform five main functions. We keep Tucson clean and safe, which means we do enhanced maintenance and enhanced security services. The purple people around downtown are Downtown Tucson Partnership folks. We also do marketing and public relations for downtown. This last summer, we've had a complete blitz with advertising about downtown in order to keep our shops alive while the streetcar construction is happening. So that's what we've been doing. The fourth piece that we do is advocacy on behalf of downtown. And then the fifth piece is what I am doing is economic development. And under that group, we support our existing businesses and help them with financing and identifying different tools that they could be using. And then we work to attract businesses downtown and a number of other pieces.
Pamela Sutherland with us on the Buckmaster Show. Here's Jimmy Bogle, and I think Jimmy's got a question about what's everybody's on everyone's mind downtown, the streetcar.
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors going around. Steve Kosachik's come out and said that it could be delayed for up to a year in terms of getting the streetcar going. I know we've got our Tucson Weekly Club Crawl event coming on up on October 6th, and we're not 100% sure even what our footprint's going to be for that event yet because of the streetcar construction and possibly some of the delays. Tell me, kind of give me the state of downtown in terms of the streetcar and where it lies. I know that Hydra, they've finally taken down those signs that were protesting the streetcar. I know some of the, you know, it looks like it's getting close to reopening, but just kind of what's the state of downtown in terms of the streetcar?
Well, the streetcar has actually been a complete game changer for downtown. Our CEO, Michael Keith, in 2010 started to look at specifically what development had happened once the streetcar construction had been announced, and actually just yesterday did a presentation to our full board and a number of other guests on the subsequent construction all the way up through 2013. Essentially, we've seen over $200 million invested by private investors just in our downtown core during the period of what's probably the worst recession in Arizona's history. So the streetcar has been an amazing boon to downtown. In terms of what its projected schedule is, I really have to defer to the RTA on that. They're being quite cautious in what their estimates are, and sort of part of what I know about that is that they are digging up streets which haven't been looked at for a very long period of time. I walk along 4th Avenue and Congress frequently, and the pieces of pipe that have been coming out of the ground are really sort of horrifying. So you can see why that's caused some delays, because different pieces weren't understood to be in need of so much work. It seems like it's going well. 4th Avenue, you know, was about a month ahead of schedule. Congress is a little bit delayed right now, but they were pouring concrete this morning. So
that's a very rosy picture you paint, and I agree there's a lot of great stuff going on downtown and a lot of investment going in. But I also know that a lot of the existing businesses there, frankly, are concerned and kind of freaked out for two reasons. Number one, obviously, it's been a tough summer because of the streetcar construction. There's still a perception, I think an incorrect perception, but it exists, that it's hard to get downtown, it's hard to find parking. And I've also talked to some business owners that are concerned about their future because they're afraid of, I don't know what the business equivalent is of gentrification, but they're afraid of getting pushed out by some of these developers. And we've actually seen that to an extent with Vaudeville closing, with Sharks closing, some of the other businesses, you know, the Grill closed last year. And I know that some of the businesses that are kind of hanging on by their fingernails during this admittedly downtime because of the construction are concerned with what the future lies. And I know a lot of these businesses are part of the Downtown Tucson Partnership. If one of these businesses were to come into you and say, hey, Pamela, I'm really concerned about not only the immediate future because of the construction, but also the long-term future because of us getting pushed out possibly when the streetcar is finally up and going, what are you going to tell them?
Well, I first should tell you that no businesses have come to us with expressing the concern about gentrification driving.
Well, you might want to talk to some, with all due respect, you might want to talk to some more of your members because they're coming to me. So
okay.
You might want to talk to them.
I know that Hydra has had a number of business issues, but absolutely, I'll definitely pursue that. What we actually are hearing from a lot of our businesses is excitement over new people coming downtown and the streetcar actually opening up the market. Tucson and the downtown core has really been a walkable district, and people leave their cars in parking garages and then they wander all around downtown. So actually having the streetcar now deliver people downtown is really going to be an enormous boon to most of our retail businesses down here. But I also need to back up a little bit. The piece that's really worked quite well with downtown has been the establishment of an entertainment district. What we've seen has just flourished has been entities like the Rialto, Hotel Congress, Club Congress, the Fox, and then all of these wonderful restaurants which have sprung up around them. And that actually right now is our most successful core of what's happening. And it has a lot to do with a lot of the public investment that went into this. While nothing else was apparently happening, the city of Tucson was building about 15,000 parking spaces, which has really answered the question of where do you park when you get down here, and it's a pretty easy answer now. The other piece that has been really helpful is all the infrastructure work that Rio Nuevo actually did. We've gone back through the Rio Nuevo numbers, and the pieces that they did that we can't see are the pieces upon which all the private businesses are now being able to build and grow. So there's, again, the streetcar has really been a game changer. There have been a lot of other components that have worked themselves into this. And I am intending to paint a rosy picture because it's quite rosy downtown.
Okay. Pamela Sutherland is with us. She's the economic director for the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Jimmy Bogle is here. He's the editor of the Tucson Weekly. And now joining us, Dylan Smith, the editor-publisher of TucsonSentinel.com. Dylan, you're up next.
My apologies for being late, Bill.
No one knew you were late.
You spilled the beans,
no
dude.
No one knew you were late.
It's all about transparency.
Well, we really appreciate that honesty, but you snuck in so nicely and quiet. I mean,
it's all about being behind the scenes.
Okay, go ahead.
And Dylan, before you slam me with anything, I do have to tell you I'm a big fan of your reporting.
There you go.
You were really wonderful.
Notice you didn't say that about the week.
Yeah. You're going to get a real softball now, Pamela.
Yeah. Softball.
All right, go ahead, Dylan.
Well, actually, my question is somewhat the thought I had in mind even before you started talking about painting a rosy picture is about the perception issue. And although it's not directly your organization that's responsible for the entire scheme of downtown development, you are a part of that trying to sell downtown. And, you know, there's been a lot of not so great news coming out lately. You've got Councilman Kozacek saying that the streetcar might be pushed back a year, that they might not get to the actual streetcars for another year. You've got Rio Nuevo suddenly figuring out that they've got to spend $4 million this afternoon or they're going to lose it. It just seems that for the public, it's one bit of bad news and stumble after stumble after stumble for a decade or more now. And what's it going to take and what are you going to do to convince people that Tucson can have a great downtown?
I'm not sure that people need convincing because downtown actually is thriving. I live here and I work here, so I'm downtown quite frequently, and I have been involved in downtown revitalization since I moved to Tucson. I was one of the developers of the Ice House Lost project, so certainly have been familiar with a lot of the issues that that surround downtown investment and what we need to do with that. I think there's a real disconnect between what is being portrayed in newspapers versus actually what's on the street. You go to Hub, and they tell you there's a 45-minute wait on a hot summer night, which is just nuts. I've lived in Tucson since 1998, and I cannot remember a single restaurant having a wait during the summer when the students are gone, when the snowbirds are gone. There is something really wonderful that's happening downtown. Of course, the streetcar is going to have some delays. I mean, I don't know if anybody completely expected it to be completely on schedule. I don't know any massive public works project that actually comes in completely on schedule, but perhaps this is because I'm from Boston, where our big thing.
Where it's one big construction project year-round, right?
It was. And I have to tell you, though, what the community of Boston looked at it as was, yes, an inconvenience, but it also was completely pumping up the economy with the jobs. And the streetcar construction is bringing construction workers, is bringing supplies, all of this stuff. So there are all these ancillary benefits that are happening throughout our community while this is going on. And while it's a little inconvenient to have muddy streets and be diverted, I just look at it as people with jobs. And that we're eventually going to have this wonderful resource, which there are a number of different analyses coming out of cities with more developed transportation lines like our light rail. And the corollary private investment that happens after this kind of public investment is as high as 11 to 1.
Okay, Pamela, we're going to take a break right here. Okay. Pamela Sutherland with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. She is the economic development director for the Downtown Tucson Partnership. We continue with our Friday Focus interview. Jimmy Bogle is with me and Dylan Smith also in studio. We will be right back.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique silk and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, Customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's Friday Focus. This portion of the program presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. You can learn more about Splendido. They want to buy you breakfast at the Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30 RSVP. And please say you heard about it here on the Buckmaster Show. 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com, 762-4090. This is Friday Focus. Pamela Sutherland is with us. She's the Economic Development Director for the Downtown Tucson Partnership. Dylan Smith of TucsonSentinel.com and Jimmy Bogle, the Tucson Weekly, are joining me in the questioning. Pamela, please keep your answers rather brief here so Dylan and Jimmy and I can each get a question in here in the remaining 7 minutes. And let's turn it now over to Dylan.
Sort of spinning off of Jimmy's question on gentrification, so much of the planning over the past decade for downtown was predicated on residential development, people going in and buying condos and renting expensive apartments. Very little of that development actually planned out. Most of those buildings, construction never even started on. What we're seeing now is people right north of downtown building a number of developments that are going to house thousands of students and right in the gateway to downtown as well. How does that change the character of downtown, and how is that going to impact the long-term plans that a number of businesses and other organizations have had? I mean, this sort of switch in who will be living in the area.
Well, this is all taking place within the context of the economy. And in 2006, Arizona and Tucson in particular took an incredible dive. And to date, it is actually quite difficult to get conventional bank financing for any kind of housing for which you don't already have buyers or leasers lined up. This is really what's driving a lot of the student housing development that we're seeing, is that that's what's being able to be financed right now. The banks now are starting to look more at what the demographic trends are. A number of different studies have been done. This issue of The Atlantic has got an article on the cheapest generation, on millennials, and how they're neither buying cars and driving, nor are they buying houses. What they're actually doing is renting, and renting in walkable areas. So the focus for downtown really does need to be on residential housing that actually is inexpensive enough for the millennials, pretty much the 20-something and early 30-somethings, to be able to afford. And actually, that's kind of what we've seen. When One North Fifth opened up, it had a waiting list. That's a market-rate rental property that had a waiting list from day one. There are a couple of other projects like that that are coming down the pike. So that's... Sorry, I'm so long-winded.
That's okay. I want a quick question, because we do want people to go downtown and support our local businesses.
Yeah.
Where is the construction going on? If someone wanted to go downtown right now or this weekend, where is the construction exactly?
Well, first of all, go on to our website, downtowntucson.com, and we have updates all the time on where to go. Wherever you want to go, you can click on that place, and it will tell you how to get there and where to park.
And again, that's downtowntucson.com. Here's Jimmy Bogle.
I just wanted to follow up on what Dylan asked, basically. And kind of tie in my previous question about businesses. What do you see as the future of downtown? Do you see a downtown? Obviously, you want a lot of people there, you know, living there. But what do you see in terms of a lot of, like, for example, there's been a trend towards some of the, like, clubs like Vaudeville and Sharks closing, and they're being replaced by, by restaurants, by the owners of 47 Scott & Scott Company, and I'm a big fan of them, by the way. But some of the business owners that I've talked to are concerned that some of these places that have been around for a while, like the District, like Sharks, like Vaudeville, they might get forced out. Do you see a downtown in the future that has a place for not only the restaurants owned, you know, the great restaurants like Hub, like 47 Scott, but also a place where, you know, there's just a nice neighborhood-friendly bar like the District?
Absolutely. And I actually see our downtown as being bigger than an entertainment district. I actually see our downtown as a place where many people are living and many people are working. I think only once you get the critical number of residents and the critical number of office people, then only can we start supporting a more robust retail piece downtown. But we're definitely moving in that direction. There, again, recent, I've been immersed in all these different studies because we're doing a big research project, but some statistics are saying that the denser a place is, the higher productivity workers do, because when you come to your job, you bring your knowledge and your experience, and so that's great. But when you bump into other people and exchange information, everything just gets multiplied. So they're finding, I have no idea how they pull the statistic, anywhere between 6% and 20% increased productivity based on the increased density of an area. So what I see with our downtown is a vibrant, alive place where people are meeting new people, and there's all kinds of cool stuff happening. I'd love to see an increased technology presence, a high-tech presence. We've got a booming startup community in Tucson, and Downtown Tucson Partnership is actually sponsoring Startup Tucson Weekend this weekend. They're doing their final pitches downtown at Mocha on Sunday night. But there are many, many brilliant new inventors and great creative people coming out of U of A and Pima Community College. And what we'd like to see is all that brought together in an incredibly dynamic downtown.
Is this a downtown Saturday night weekend?
Downtown Saturday nights are the second Saturdays of every month, so it would be this Saturday.
It's coming up.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. Yep. All right.
Exactly.
Give you a plug there. Pamela
thank
Sutherland,
you.
Thank you very much from Downtown Tucson Partnership. And again, your website, downtowntucson.org. Did I get that correct?
Yep. It's .com or .org. Either one will get you there. It's Downtown Tucson.
Thanks, Pamela. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much. And very nice to speak with you all.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
All right. Coming up next on the Buckmaster Show, we will talk about the week's top stories. And as usual, there is no shortage of news, even though it's been kind of a short news week. I mean, Monday came around, it was a holiday, but still we've got lots to talk about.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. President Obama admits that the economy needs to create jobs faster, but he says recovering from a recession is a long, tough journey. Meanwhile, the man who hopes to replace Mr. Obama says today's jobs report shows that it's time for a new president. Republican Mitt Romney says Mr. Obama has done almost nothing to give Americans confidence that he knows what he's doing when it comes to jobs and the economy. The Labor Department says U.S. employers added only 96,000 jobs last month as the number of people in the workforce fell to its lowest level in 31 years. More than 60 people dead, thousands of homes have been collapsed, and a pair of powerful earthquakes, a series of aftershocks in southwestern China. On Wall Street, the Dow is down about 7 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Buckmaster Show, AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. This is time now for our Friday Reporters Roundtable, when we bring in our friends, our local journalists who tell us about the top stories of the week. Joining me today, Jimmy Bogle. He's editor of, and I think we can still say it because it hasn't been a year since you were awarded the top was it top weekly?
Yep, weekly newspaper, weekly? Non-daily newspaper
non-daily
of the year.
Non-daily.
Yes, indeed.
It was the key, and so you're still certainly can ride along on that for a year. And Dylan Smith is with us, editor and publisher of the Tucson online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, and congratulations to you. Can I say this on the radio that you had a little grant that
came? You just did, so.
Oh, I guess I can.
We're still waiting for the checks to be cut.
Oh, maybe.
I don't like to brag about things until there's money
in
hand.
Can I just say that things are looking bright for
Well, we're getting a bit of support from the a national foundation, the Excellence and Ethics in Journalism Foundation is awarding us some support to do some more border reporting. We really want to delve further into that issue and give people some, you know, some good hard info on that and tell some of the stories that are not being told, especially by what we get from national media.
So I think that's worth crowing about.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Dylan, you were busy this week writing a story, not just one story, but many stories, but about the scandal in the city of Tucson's Department of Transportation. The cynics among us were saying, oh, well, that's why the potholes are not being filled in the city of Tucson. What's this all about? How widespread is this, Dylan?
Well, there were five employees, three of whom, one managed to retire. He had enough years in to retire. Two of them resigned in lieu of being fired, and two were terminated. The city moved a week ago to fire these five guys after an 11-month investigation that was kicked off when some of the employees in the streets maintenance division complained about preferential treatment, that there was, you know, just sort of this coterie of buddies who were, you know, really not working up to par. And that what came to light as a result of the investigation is that these guys, the investigators say these guys were, you know, one, the head of the division paved his own driveway using city workers on the clock, city materials. They were doing allegedly side jobs with city materials, sometimes on the clock, sometimes off the clock. You know, and the monetary impact, the city hasn't given us a figure. Some of it's pretty hard to determine, but it is, you know, it looks like somewhere in the range of, you know, high five figures, maybe low six figures. And then they had to pay these employees because of the civil service process. They suspended them, one of them for almost a year. So there was something like $140,000 or so paid out in salaries while this investigation was going on.
So the depth of the investigation, you have five Tucson street workers, including a division administrator, but there possibly could be more people involved?
There are five or six more people who the city says might be disciplined over this. They won't be fired, but they might get a, you know, some sort of slap on the wrist, get suspended for a week or be demoted, something like that.
Jimmy Bogle, how embarrassing.
Definitely. I mean, you know, it makes you wonder what else is out there that hasn't been reported yet. And I have to say, if you have any whistleblowing tips, call either the Tucson Weekly or the TucsonSentinel.com and we'll look into them.
Indeedy. There is another employee in a different division in the I'm going to get this wrong. I think the engineering division of the Department of Transportation, who was served with a notice of intent to terminate last week, separate from this investigation. That was an investigation that sources tell us involved people in doing the amazingly stupid thing of looking at porn on their work computers.
Oh my goodness!
So you know that's the work of pure genius right there.
There you go.
Well, the on again, off again, open primary measure, folks will be allowed to vote on this in November. We had a half hour debate here on the Buckmaster Show, and I want to point folks, if you were unable to hear it yesterday, the wonderful thing about posting the show to several locations, including Dylan's site, TucsonSentinel.com, it lives for a while. And folks, I urge
lives
them,
forever.
Yeah, there you go. I urge them to go either to BuckmasterShow.com or TucsonSentinel.com, TucsonCitizen.com. It's there, and it is. I thought it went very well. We had Dr. Downing, former state lawmaker, who was one of the architects writing this open primary measure, and we had Bruce Ash, the Arizona Republican committeeman, voting against it. And Jimmy Bogle, kind of the takeaway message from Dr. Downing was that he believes it will increase participation in primaries and that it will strengthen the parties.
And I would like to know what makes him believe that, because I'm not saying it. I think this is going to be – I'm not a big fan of this. I mean, I would love to do those things. I would love to increase participation in primaries and not necessarily strengthen the parties, because I actually think some – I'd love to see some third and fourth parties come up. But the fact of the matter is Jim Nensel in The Skinny this week pointed out that this is rife for all sorts of dirty politics and unintended consequences. The example he gave was, let's say it's a heavily Democratic district where the voters would want to vote in some Democrats. Well, if you could possibly get five Democrats to run in a primary and only two Republicans ran, it's possible that those five Democrats could split the Democratic vote and the two Republicans could end up winning the primary and could end up being the only general election choices. And so I think there's a lot of possible unintended consequences here. And but, you know, I have to say it's got a good chance of passing, because people are so disillusioned with the political process these days that when they see something that's going to drastically change and kind of stick it to the two major parties, I think it's got a good chance. And we learned this week, after it being off and on and off and on, that it looks like it's going to be on the ballot.
Yeah, I think it's the unintended consequences that
the
opposition –
when you're looking at tinkering with the political system, you really need to take a look at exactly what problem are you trying to solve and – precisely how does your proposed mechanism fix that problem? And there's a lot of, you know, praise being tossed in the direction of this measure and a lot of, you know, people saying it's terrible. I can't really get a good handle on what the effects would be, and I find that a little troublesome. That mm-hmm. we don't know how this will play out. And how is our system so broken that we should break it in a different way? It should be kind of the question we're asking in this. And I'm not saying that this is a terrible idea. I'm just saying I can't quite figure out what the impact will be. I mean, there could be that sort of situation that Jimmy just described, where we end up with a populace who would select some sort of representative, but because there's so much competition, they actually don't get to choose from any of those people.
And I think it's well-intentioned, but I think that we can look to clean elections for an example of something that was very well-intentioned, that actually had a clearer purpose, but also had some deep unintended consequences. The unintended consequences being that because clean elections set a relatively low and makeable bar for people to get, you know, you have to get a certain amount of small contributions and then you're qualified for public funding. That allowed a lot of people who normally the business community and other donors would go, no, you're
much
kind
more
of
extreme
nuts.
People can
and
get it, out
and
there.
And as a result, there's a lot, there's, you know, I think that clean elections has something to do with the fact for the rightward tilt of the legislature, you know, the Republicans. And also, I think it's led to some, you know, really lefty Democrats getting in, and I think the center's been kind of left out of it. That's the perfect example of an unintended consequence, and that had a clearer purpose. I mean, the unintended consequences with this, who the heck knows?
This portion of the Buckmaster Show, the Friday Reporters Roundtable, is presented by Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. It's a true continuing care retirement community. You can find out more over breakfast. The folks at Splendido are so excited about their product that they are willing to offer and come forward with a free breakfast for anyone who would like to come to the Tucson Hilton Tucson East on Thursday, September 20th at 9:30. RSVP and say you heard about it on our show, the Buckmaster Show, at 762-4090, SplendidoTucson.com. I want to go back to our Friday Focus interview, Dylan and Jimmy. Pamela said that she was painting a rosy picture, but I think this delay with the streetcar is really a big deal because folks are we're kind of just counting the days till all of this is going to be over with, Jimmy Bogle.
Yeah, this is you know, she's right. There's a lot of great things going on downtown, and there's a lot of investment in the streetcar. Once it's going, it could be a very good thing, and I think it has led to a lot of investment. But the fact that
she said, what, $200 million invested?
I believe that's what she said, but she kind of glossed over the fact, and I'm not faulting her for this because that's her job as the part of the Downtown Tucson Partnership to do this, about the fact that a lot of businesses on both 4th Avenue and in downtown are barely holding on right now. And, you know, there's two different delays here. The big delay could be in getting the streetcar up and running in terms of because they're actually having a big delay in building the cars themselves. But there's also been talk of some construction delays as well. And that's what hurts the businesses that are there right now trying to survive in their pocketbook big time. And yes, she talks about, you know, she used the example of Hub having long lines and waits. I don't know how many times Hub had a 45-minute wait on a weekday during the summer, but it is crowded. But it also, a lot of other places, you know, flat out went away. And I know a lot of other places downtown and especially on 4th Avenue were hurt and didn't make the summer and are still holding on for dear life. And, you know, any delays in terms of the construction is a very bad thing. And that's something, you know, yes, there's a rosy future, but there's pure hell for a lot of people downtown right now trying to survive.
It is important to note that the delay in the streetcar itself, as in the vehicle, is not a construction delay. And really what's hurting the businesses right now is the fact that the road's all torn up.
Right.
And people think that they can't get there because some people are too lazy to walk half a block. You know, you go to the mall, you got to park five blocks away in that huge parking lot, but people are willing to do that. It boggles my mind.
And that's a good
different
point.
Topic.
If there's anyone out there listening who's afraid to go downtown because they think it's hard to get around, they think there's not a lot of parking, with all due respect, you're a moron because it's it's not. I go downtown regularly, and Dylan's right. I have a much bigger problem parking at Tucson Mall on the weekends than I do ever going downtown ever. It, don't be afraid. Go. You might have to walk an extra block. You might have to go, you know, around the block once because of construction, but it's really not hard.
Well, while we're caveating the streetcar bit, we should also note that there was something like 6 or 9 months built into the schedule for the testing of the car after things had been constructed and the cars were on the track. So the actual launch may still occur when
November
it's supposed
of 2013. So there was a little bit of fudge room.
Yeah, there was plenty of wiggle room there.
That was in there, a little wiggle room. But we do want to encourage people to support the downtown businesses. And as Jimmy points out, it's not that bad going downtown. And the parking has not really been affected at all by this.
I never have a problem when I go down to park.
It's, no, some of the street places, some of the street parking's been taken up, but there's plenty of garages that are easy to get in and out of. And frankly, I hate parking garages. I grew up in Nevada, and there's parking garages everywhere, and some weird phobia developed. So I never park in parking garages, and I still never have any problems parking downtown. Town within a block or two of where I'm going.
Well, that was you growing up in the Reno area, trying to get into all those, get into all of those casinos.
No comment, Bill.
All right, SB 1070. The papers, please, provision of SB 1070. A judge says basically that Arizona can go ahead and enforce this provision. Is this a big deal, Dylan?
Well, yes and no. I mean, if you don't like this provision, this certainly seems a big deal to you. But it was to be expected. It's basically what the Supreme Court told this district judge to do a number of months ago. The Supreme Court said that we don't know if this provision is going to be discriminatory. We have to wait and see how it's enforced. You know, no judge has really given this provision the stamp of approval. Nobody's upheld it and said it's constitutional, except on the narrow challenge that the Justice Department made as to whether it was preempted by federal law or not. They said, no, well, it's not preempted. It sure might be discriminatory. You know, Chief Justice John Roberts basically invited a challenge based on seeing how it will be enforced.
Yeah, and this is being crowed as a victory for the supporters of SB 1070, and in a sense it is, because this law is going to be allowed, this part of the law at least, is going to be allowed to go into effect. But Dylan's absolutely right. In the decision the Supreme Court gave, they basically said, we don't know yet. We need to see how this is enforced. And I can tell you right now, chalk it up. It's happening for sure. There's going to be legal challenges to this down the line, and it's going to be very interesting to see how that all goes.
TUSD setting some limits on hiring and travel. They have all sorts of problems, of course, as we know, the budget problems. And I believe, Jimmy, you are scheduled to be with me for next Friday's Friday Focus interview, which will be with Superintendent Petticone. So that will be very interesting because the district is really struggling, aren't they?
They are. They're having to do another round of cuts. They're talking about possibly the possibility of more closures. And, you know, TUSD's been in a downward spiral for a while in terms of enrollment. A lot of people are pulling their students out to go to other school districts or to go to charter schools. And that means that the money that they're getting from the state, it keeps decreasing. And, of course, you know, you throw in the other tax issues that we've had during the Great Recession. And TUSD, you know, this isn't just a recession thing. TUSD has been in this downward spiral for a long time. And the one thing that I'm looking forward to asking John Petticone about is I'm not seeing a vision to get TUSD out of that spiral, not from him and not from any of the school board members. And it needs to happen fast because these are our kids' schools, and it's important.
Dylan, a caller who did not want to go on the air, question for you. How does he know, you know, Dylan, that the buck stops with Kurt? What's that about?
That's back to the City Department of Transportation scandal. And Kurt Huff was the director of that division who was on whose watch all of these incidents occurred. An investigator said that he was, you know, mainly the driving force behind what was going on in the department. Do I know the buck stops with him? No. What we do know is that there was a parallel criminal investigation that was occurring. The information we have thus far from the city is only about people who were the city wanted to fire, not about any other former employees or anyone outside of the city. There were, besides the city, there were sources tell me that there were other investigative agencies working on the criminal portion of this, the state attorney general, the FBI, a couple of other agencies. So we, you know, people are being very tight-lipped about what sort of criminal charges we might see, if any. What sort of civil moves the city might take. The city attorney Mike Rankin told me yesterday that he hasn't even really thought that far ahead about whether the city might want to sue anybody to get restitution for any of the costs of
some of that $140,000 they had to pay in salaries.
Well, I think mainly for any private parties who may have gained by what these guys were doing. You know, there's certainly they did a lot of work for other people doing these side jobs, and they, you know, got some benefit. Whether that was a knowing benefit, we really don't know. It's kind of hard to get a hold of these people at this point. There aren't too many people, you know, who want to talk about that on the record.
I do want to acknowledge Gabrielle Giffords, and that was the most moving moment of either the Republican or the Democratic convention as she went on stage at the Democratic convention, Jimmy Bogle, last night and did the Pledge of Allegiance, and there wasn't a dry eye in the House.
No, and Dylan actually had a beautiful Facebook post about, I don't remember your exact wording, but how, you know, this transcends politics, whether you're Democrat, Republican, or whatever. Of course, yes, this is – it doesn't totally transcend politics. This is at a national convention for a political party. But knowing what Gabrielle Giffords went through and seeing her go out there and do that, that was awesome.
It was a wonderful human moment. You know, certainly it was put into a political context, but, you know, I think it spoke to something beyond that to everybody who watched it.
Amen.
Yes, it was wonderful to see Gabrielle Giffords, and we, of course, welcome her back to Tucson, now a full-time resident again of our city. Jimmy Bogle and Dylan Smith, thank you both very much. Hope both of you have a great weekend.
Back at you.
All right. Weekend Watch is coming up. The culinary cruiser Matt Russell is off today, so guess who will be giving the Weekend Watch picks? It's Mr. Buckmaster, myself, giving you my tips for the weekend, so stay with us. That's next. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
My name is Mark Layton, and I'm the IT guy over at O'Neill Printing. In order to serve my Tucson clients, I've got to be able to quickly receive files up to 10 gigs in size. That's why we made the switch to Cox Business. We used to have an internet connection that could barely handle more than two file uploads at a time. With Cox Business, our connection is 10 times faster, and our bill is 40% less. Now that's what I call a no-brainer.
Get to know the business side of Cox at CoxBusinessAZ.com.
Weekend Watch on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson. And this is the big weekend free music festival, Pickamania. So that's going to be one of the Buckmaster Show picks of the weekend over in Silver City. The Pickamania Free Music Festival going on over in Silver City. For more information about Silver City and the great places to stay, including Spirit Canyon Lodge, Wilderness Lodge, and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, visit southwestnewmexico.org. The culinary cruiser Matt Russell is off today, so I am filling in for Matt and his big shoes. Very difficult to fill in, but I'll give it a try. Want to recommend Vero Amore. That's one of my weekend picks for the getting out and visiting a great restaurant, which has now moved over to Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell. I was over there this week. That plaza is undergoing a beautiful restoration, multi-million dollar restoration. Vero Amore is now at Plaza Palomino in the spot formerly occupied by Luna Bella, but this is a temporary move. The eatery will move its permanent spot, which has indoor and outdoor seating, and they'll move into the permanent spot in Plaza Palomino that will be coming up next spring. So Vero Amore, check it out. They are now open in the new location at Plaza Palomino. And a big shout out to my favorite bakery in the whole world, opening after a 2-month summer break. They are open now, Mona's Danish Bakery, Steve had a little bicycling accident, the owner, and so he decided, well, I'm going to have to shut down the bakery, but they are reopened at Sunrise and Swan. So that's another one of my picks for the weekend. Also, check out Bear Canyon Market. That will be the open-air market opens up for the season this Saturday. And how about some music in the park? The fall concert will begin at Udall Park. That will be coming up on four Saturdays in a row. Music in the park at Udall Park at 7 o'clock. The picks for the weekend on the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on our program provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home and business. We love the Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show, a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. On behalf of Team Buckmaster, the lovely and talented producer, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend. We have the John C. Scott Show coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Then Monday, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe from 6 to 8. Have a great weekend.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.